Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I don't do this very often, but I'm going to tell you what's going to be on the show today. I know, it's altogether new. Normally, I just go, our first guest up. How about if I tell you about our second guest, the president of Amway? I know. AmwayGlobal.com. They just released their 8th annual Amway Global Entrepreneurship Report, which tracks the pulse of entrepreneurship around the world. Imagine that. So we'll be talking to him. But first up is a gentleman named Robinson Hernandez. He's the executive director of Urban Tech Hub at Grand Central Tech. What is that? I can only imagine. Robinson, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Alan. Thanks for having me.
What do you got going on? Yeah.
So we have a lot of cool, exciting stuff going on here. And so we've created about a year and a half ago, we created this space. It's called the Urban Tech Hub, part of this organization, Grand Central Tech, as you just mentioned. And the idea was, how do we bring together the leading entrepreneurs in the urban tech space to an innovation hub? And how do we find a way of being able to support these entrepreneurs in being able to not only do a good return to their investors, but also be able to do good? So what is urban tech? Urban tech is a bunch of industries that are focused on helping the urban environment through clean tech, mobility, IoT sensors, all of this stuff. And by bringing all of these leading entrepreneurs together in one space, our hope is that we can create the type of ecosystem that makes it optimal for entrepreneurs to continue to thrive and do well in that urban tech space.
Mm. You said something about Grand Central Tech. What is that organization?
So Grand Central Tech is the largest tech ecosystem in New York City. We're going to have 250,000 square feet of space within the next couple of months that allows us to be able to provide opportunities to the tech community. And so we have a couple of programs, this accelerator, co-working space, and now we have this urban tech hub. And the idea is that we're located right across the street. Like I can see it from my window, Grand Central Station. And using that as, you know, a metaphor for like the centrality of how we bring together New York City, right, we intend on doing the same thing for entrepreneurs.
Well, this is brilliant. I like it. You get my thumbs up. I got maybe even both. Yeah, there they are. Two thumbs up. So,
nice.
So then, you know, it's about helping people to connect and connecting influencers with people that need to be connected to influencers. So how do entrepreneurs get involved with this? And the fact is, you're right there outside Grand Central Station. It's like, that's easy, you know?
Yeah. The idea is that we can make it easy for folks to be able to join us. We do it in a couple of different ways. We do a lot of outreach, and then we also host a lot of programming that makes it easy for people to participate and engage. And then once you're part of that community, then we start to open doors and make it easier for people to engage with the corporate community as well as government. So for example, one area where we did a lot of work was we were working with the New York City Housing Authority. Those guys have 400,000 people within their developments, 2,600 buildings. And so there's a lot of opportunity for the tech entrepreneur to say, hey, how do I get in there? How do I find a way of being able to engage this community and have them be part of this tech revolution that's taking place? And so we did this tech competition, invited folks from NYCHA, their entire board, to come out and listen to demos from some of the tech companies. They went out there and they came up with all of these really cool, innovative ideas that said, hey, maybe we can put some sensors that allow us to be able to detect when there's a maintenance need so you don't have to wait for the monthly inspection. I can request someone to come in if I detected that there's too much heat or if there's leaking or if there's whatever. And so these entrepreneurs went through this demo, which was a really cool experience. NYCHA, which is a government authority, was really excited about it, happy to get out of their, you know, government offices, come up to our really cool orange looking office here and participate in this demo. And so they selected five companies, and those five companies are now out there implementing their technology in these different buildings. And so we serve as a facilitator of sorts where we can say, all right, we know the people who are making the change. We know the people who want to engage with the tech community. How do we make that all happen together? And so folks like ourselves, like these hub innovators, our goal is really to serve as connectors and to provide those optimal conditions for the community.
Man, you made my job easy. Good Lord. All I do is that one question and you just, man. All right. I understand you have some sort of a Innovation Challenge going on. We'll talk about that. We're talking to Robinson Hernandez, Executive Director, Urban Tech Hub at Grand Central Tech. You can find them online at hub@gct.com. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Right now.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And our show is brought to you in part by Kia. The 2018 Kia Stinger, fueled by you. Don't forget, also in the second part of the show, we're going to have the president of Amway. They just released their 8th annual Amway Global Entrepreneurship Report, which tracks the pulse of entrepreneurship around the world. But right now we are talking to Robinson Hernandez. He is the executive director of Urban Tech Hub. It is the Urban Tech Hub at Grand Central Tech. Let's talk about this innovation challenge. Entrepreneurs love a challenge, Robinson. What is it?
So we call it the Open Data L-Train Innovation Challenge. And what we were thinking was there are a lot of people out there who have ideas about how to address problems. And what we want to do is bring these problems to them and say, we want your input in doing it. And so the L train, for many of those who may not be familiar with it, is one of our major train lines that come in from Brooklyn into the Central District of Manhattan.
Right.
And it's going down for 15 months as a result of what happened with Hurricane Sandy, big tragedy, all that jazz.
Right, right.
And once that line goes down for 15 months in order for them to really rebuild the tunnels, it's going to have a significant impact on, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of folks. So we were looking at how do we mitigate for that impact, leveraging technology and data and all that's out there, but saying, why don't we give the power of the solutions not to the bureaucrats who are out there, but to the people themselves, to the entrepreneurs who have these ideas, who want to develop solutions for them. So working with a couple of city agencies as well as state agencies, so like, well, you know, the MTA, which is the Transit Authority, the Port Authority, the Taxi Limousine, and a bunch of other Department of Transportations and stuff, we put a hackathon together. We said, all right, let's bring in all of these entrepreneurs and have them come up with the solutions. And what they came up with was some really innovative ideas on how we could create ways of being able to mitigate for that train line disruption by engaging in local offices and looking at alternative means of transportation. So if we look at some of the ride sharing that's out there, or creating apps, or creating ways of engaging the local community to mitigate for some of the commercial interruptions. And so that was a really good experience in getting community as well as all of the government agencies together. In fact, one of the agencies themselves said, we have never been in the same room together, which was not a great, it's a great comment, but at the same time, it's, you know, we want to promote more of that. But,
right. Face-to-face,
I don't want to be
important.
Too critical.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
So our goal is to continue to solicit more feedback from entrepreneurs to say, what are your ideas? Because we in government, and not necessarily me, but government and some of the larger corporates are saying, we have the solutions. And that's not necessarily always true. The entrepreneurs are the ones who know what they need to do in order to make their lives easier. How do I get from point A to point B? And they may have solutions that we want to engage and incorporate in. So that was part of the idea with the Open Data L-Train Innovation Challenge. And we're continuing to solicit ideas, and we're going to go into phase two, which will be on the website, the hub@gct.com website.
Goodness.
So exciting stuff to explore there.
Okay, first of all, you guys got to come up with some shorter names. Urban Tech Hub at Grand Central Tech. You know, it's like, what is it called here? Urban Tech Hub's Open Data L-Train Innovation Challenge. Oh, my gosh!
Right, I know.
Not designed for the, you know, anyway. So here's the deal. First of all, this is great. Is there, this is obviously New York based, but what is the big plan? Is there a bigger, more national plan coming down the pike for Urban Tech Hub?
Yeah. So we want to look at ways of being able to get folks around the country excited about what we're doing here. And so the plan was we start in New York, We had the support of the city of New York, which really was trying to create these clusters of activity and innovation. And the next step is really looking at what can we do elsewhere. So I've been out, you know, I was out in Austin, I was out in Detroit, looking at all of these really cool cities that have, you know, they have a lot of expertise, a lot of knowledge, and how do we find ways of being able to engage their communities into thinking about what we're doing? Now, we may not necessarily go out there and do that, but there are other entrepreneurs, other organizations that do it as well. My advice to entrepreneurs is to search these organizations out, because these are the types of organizations that can provide the links to government and to other corporate entities out there that can help facilitate a lot of the challenges or to create opportunities for them. So,
well, hold tight. Here's the deal. The opportunity is with Robinson Hernandez, because he can connect you with these influencers. This is what Entrepreneur is all about. If you're listening in Detroit or in Austin or God knows where you are, and you like the urban tech hub at Grand Central, whatever city, you may want your own. Let's talk on the other side one more segment, because we always make you become the professor and teach us a little bit about what you've learned on this journey. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All American Rejects, Dirty Little Secrets. And you know what? That's music to my ears. I love when there's, you know, this little dirty little secret. Guess what? If what Robinson Hernandez and the Urban Hub, the Urban Tech Hub at Grand Central Tech is interesting to you and what they're doing, maybe there should be one in your town, so maybe you reach out to Robinson, and you can do that at hub@gct.com for Grand Central Tech, hub@gct.com. Am I saying that right, Robinson? Is this, I mean, you guys would love to see this grow and expand, right?
Yeah, we'd love to. I mean, there's so much opportunity throughout the country. We want to see this magnified, multiplied everywhere.
Okay.
We want to see that success.
Now, so we got that out there. There's a little tidbit for people that are, you know, you never know what people got going on. Maybe they got something that is just like this, but maybe they can, you know, kind of gang up with you guys and things go better in numbers, you know what I mean? So who is Robinson Hernandez, by the way?
He's what I hope is a good guy. So, guy who's had a bit of experience in both the private and public sectors and now is looking at the tech community as a way of being able to bridge everything. And so kicked off private sector for a while, did my corporate stuff out in Ohio, then decided to go into urban planning, did government, and really looked at how to streamline the regulatory process for business owners. And so this is why I think I'm so passionate about entrepreneurs. The idea was that there's a lot of red tape that's out there, and our goal is to try to make it as easy as possible for folks to focus on business 101, not government 101, 202, 303, and all of the other steps that government sometimes throws out there. And so my focus has always been on really making it easier for that community. And what happened was, after I decided that I wanted to look at something new, something different, I looked at tech and I said, you know, there's a lot of opportunity there. There's a lot of opportunity not only to make it easier for entrepreneurs, but to be able to present new opportunities out there, new markets, new stakeholders, new folks, new everything. And we got to realize that tech is transforming how we do our day-to-day in everything. And we're seeing faster everything, bigger this, bigger that, not just in Texas. And now we're looking at being able to make that available to the entrepreneur who says, all right, you have a great idea, do it. Because you know what? We don't even know if there's someone else who's thinking about this. And this is how these large companies have developed. And so the creation of our hubs have been ways of being able to incubate and foster and innovate all that. So for me, my passion has always been just making sure that we get every person who's creative, innovative, to pursue their ideas. And I've gone out, I've talked to people, I've done these sessions where, and especially when I was in government, and my job, or really what I was telling them all the time, was like, do your due diligence, but take advantage of the opportunity. Don't be shy and walk away and say, okay, oh, if I had, do it. Because you know what? There are folks out there like me. We're out here waiting to help. Our goal, like, I was designed, I'm sure, for this universe to be able to just, like, help people. And I want to continue to do that in every way I can. And so reach out to your local government guy. Reach out to your hub or your future hub if we go out there, and we can find ways of making things a lot better.
I tell you what, don't listen to him. Reach out to Robinson Hernandez. That's the easiest way. I love that. All right. So where are you from, by the way? Where is it? I detect a little bit, like, Canadians are like, you know, hey, but you got this little thing where every TH is a D.
Exactly. So it's a Queens accent. I'm from Queens. My parents are Colombian.
That's awesome.
And so from ages 0 to 3, I guess I didn't grow up speaking English. I learned it in kindergarten.
That's
and
awesome.
So my THs have always been D's, which is interesting. So people have thought I was from Bermuda, Ireland.
Hey, not Canada. Hey.
Canada. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So,
but Queens raised and born. So.
Love it. So now here's the deal. Put your professor's cap on. You're talking to about 500,000, you know, entrepreneurs, people. Now that you've worked with a lot of entrepreneurs, give me your 1 minute elevator pitch on why people should be entrepreneurs.
Own it. You know, it's about you being able to own your destiny and being able to pursue ideas that you think are relevant to you as well as to your community. And while working for a company may be a great opportunity for others, this is something that you yourself will be able to control. To do that, go out, look at what's important to you, try to be creative, design what you'd like to do, and then do your due diligence. When you're ready to start moving forward with your idea, then figure out what's the best way of being able to bring in investors. Who are the right types of folks that you want on your team? And how do you go out there and engage folks? But follow your heart, you know? And so I think following your heart is really going to lead you to a place that you're going to be happy with, and it's going to ultimately help you drive the way to your most successful product. And that's what I've seen out of most entrepreneurs. When you love it, when you own it, when you feel it, you're going to be successful.
Dude, I love it. Great advice from Robinson Hernandez, Urban Tech Hub at Grand Central Tech. You guys, it's right down. He says he can see the Grand Central Station. So next time you're in New York, knock on the door. Is Robinson here? Good job.
Come on,
Rob.
By.
That's right. Again, the website is hub@gct.com. Robinson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate
it. All right. So coming up next, we're going to be talking to the president of Amway, Doug DeVos, and they just released the 8th annual Amway Global Entrepreneurship Report, which takes the pulse of entrepreneurship around the world, and we're going to find out what is Amway up to these days. We'll take a little break. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Also, don't forget, pick up our magazine on newsstands everywhere and visit our website, for goodness sake, entrepreneur.com. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it is time to talk to Doug DeVos. He is the president of Amway, and they just released their 8th annual Amway Global Entrepreneurship Report, which tracks the pulse of entrepreneurship around the world. And yes, Amway is a global company, and to have the president of Amway on is, to me, is fantastic. By the way, Doug, I was on your website a little while ago, and I read this from your father. It says, "We're just two guys from Ada, Michigan, USA, who wanted to have a business of our own." And then Jay Van Andel says, "Amway gets people into new life of excitement, promise, profit, and hope." Those two comments sound like what an entrepreneur is. So for Entrepreneur Magazine and Media, we recognize that your dad and his partner with Amway were really one of these big, great American companies that helped people to be entrepreneurs, in essence.
Alan, you got it. And it's great to have a chance to talk with you. And you're exactly right. That's what Dad and Jay were all about. They were all about the idea of entrepreneurship. When they were in high school, they talked about getting in business together. They wanted to be in business together. And we have a wonderful collection of letters when they were in the service in World War II of writing back and forth to each other. Someday this war is going to end. Someday we'll start a business together. You know, the future is going to be bright. They had that optimistic spirit about them, and they worked their whole lives to make it happen. And not just for them, but the whole essence of the Amway business is to help others get in business as well, just like it said.
I love it. And I know at one point Amway was the number one direct selling company in the world. Is it still that way?
We still are, yeah. Wow. Amway still operates globally, as you said. We operate in over 100 countries and territories around the world. We have a wide range of products. People may remember our home care products, but we're into nutritional products, into cosmetics, beauty products, air treatment systems, water treatment systems. Just under $9 billion of sales globally, and still number one in the industry.
That is so awesome.
Yeah. We're very grateful to all of our Amway entrepreneurs around the world who make it happen.
Gosh. Well, so maybe you could give us a little bit of a, state of the union on Amway. What's changed? How has this new techie world assisted or made it more difficult? I can't imagine that. It probably made it a lot easier, but give us a couple minutes on Amway.
Well, there's some things that don't change. Our commitment to the idea of entrepreneurship, our commitment to product quality, our commitment to innovation, those are customer service. Those things don't change. But how we operate, nearly 75% of our orders come through electronically today. We're shipping directly to customers after the orders come in. We still maintain our relationship with our sales force. They get the credit for all the sales. We do all the back end behind it. But every modern convenience and technology that you would expect in the marketplace is where we're going as a company and really as an industry. Our colleagues, we call them competitors, but even our colleagues, we have a pretty collegial industry, are all working and kind of finding this wonderful place, because while people love the technology, they love to be able to order from their phone, they still like to have a relationship with somebody in the process. And so we feel we have a nice place. We have a nice fit in the world of technology going forward, and the business continues to be very, very successful. And we're very proud of how our entrepreneurs around the world are using that technology and serving customers and expanding the business.
Can I ask, where did the name Amway come from? Does it have a special meaning of any kind?
It sure does. It was the American way.
Oh.
My dad and Jay and my mom and Jay's wife, Betty, they were part, when they first started into, direct selling, they thought there was, having a business of your own was the American way. And so it was they kind of just brought that together for the name of the company of Amway. And in fact, we were a little cautious when we went global, thinking that, boy, the American way may not be received real well. We actually thought about, when we first went to Canada, naming the company Canway in Canada. We actually thought about it. And you, can you imagine being in all the countries and territories that we're in today? If we'd have kept trying to do that, we'd be so confused. We'd never know what was what. But the Amway name stuck, and that's where we are.
You know what? That's awesome. And I think I know that. When you said it, it was like, oh, yeah. I mean, this company, yeah. What are you, 50-some-odd? How many years old now?
We'll be 60 years old next year. We're going to be celebrating our 60th anniversary and looking forward to it.
That is so awesome. And, your father and Jay started this company, and now you, are running it, and there's a family involved, obviously. And, gosh, see, now you and I are similar age, and my dad is 90, and he has a company that's 50-some-odd years old, and I'm
right,
the one
right.
that's having to take that over. Was it easy?
Good for you.
Or was it hard when that transition happened? Did your dad say, take it and run, Doug?
Well, it was both,
Yeah.
It was because we grew up in the business, and all of us in my family and the Venando family, we all grew up with it. We, you know, our house was right next door. We were at the company all the time. We knew employees and our distributors, our entrepreneurs. And so in one sense, it was really easy because this is just what we did. We had events at our homes. We would, you know, be able to, you know, to meet and understand what the business was. But right. In the other sense, it's hard. It's become a big global business. And thankfully, we got a great team here of employees who love the business like we do and work really hard, bring all their talents and skills to bear as well. So it's a great combination.
All right. Well, so first of all, thank you for that kind of
sure.
update on things. And it's really neat.
Absolutely.
I mean, you guys are that family name, you know, is very iconic to many Americans and baby boomers in particular. I'm sure the millennials maybe are just learning a little bit about this right now. Maybe you could give us tee up this global entrepreneurship report, because and then we go to take a break and we'll come back and people can learn about it. What are we going to talk about?
Let me tee it up. So we have been interested in the idea of entrepreneurship. And about 10 years ago, it was a question, you know, at the height of the economic crisis that was happening. Are people still interested in the spirit of free enterprise and entrepreneurship? And we said, well, let's study it. Let's ask them and see what's happening. And so our history has been to expand that. It started with Europe, and then we expanded it globally shortly thereafter. We've gone to over 40 countries. We've interviewed, you know, nearly 50,000 people and just basically kind of asked them the ideas. Is entrepreneurship alive and well? How do you feel about it? Where is it working well? Where is it not working well? And how do we make it better for more people if they're interested in starting their own business?
All right. Well, we're talking with Doug DeVos. He is the president of Amway, and they've released their 8th annual Amway Global Entrepreneurship Report. We'll talk about that next on Entrepreneur Weekly. Stay with us.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Our special guest today is the president of Amway, amwayglobal.com. His name, Doug DeVos. And, of course, Amway just released their 8th annual Amway Global Entrepreneurship Report, which tracks the pulse of entrepreneurship around the world, and he teed it up nicely for us. Doug, again, thank you for being with us. Maybe you can give us kind of a little insight into this report, and then people can visit your website to see the whole thing. Give it to us.
Absolutely. So basically what we try to do is kind of, you know, ask people around the world how they feel about the idea of entrepreneurship. And in essence, you know, how about your individual idea of your desire to start a business? And then what are some of the things we kind of call it the entrepreneurial spirit index? You know, beyond your desire, how do you feel about the feasibility? Do you have the skills and resources to do this, to make it happen? And do you have support, stability? And we kind of take those results and put them together, and we call it the entrepreneurial spirit index. And so what we're finding, you know, that over the past couple of years, you know, we as we've done this event or as we've done this study, the desire to have a business, to start a business of your own remains very, very strong. That, you know, that nearly 70% of the people are very interested research. They're very interested in having their own business. And then when you ask a little deeper beyond the desire to this feasibility and stability, then you start to see some differences where people start to have a different perspective of the feasibility of what's happening in the marketplace or with them personally. Can I really do it? There's a gap between their desire and then their belief in themselves. And that kind of then spills over to what's in the environment around me. Are my family and friends supportive? How do I get access to capital? How do I get mentorship? How do I get experience? And so those are the elements that that really kind of make up the personal context of how people feel about starting a business and their strength and their level of confidence to start a business and go forward. We also ask a little bit beyond that, Alan, how about the barriers that are out there? So just the environment, the marketplace is one thing, but then you kind of get into taxes and regulations and educational gaps or educational support. And there's further connections or further commentary on, from folks about, hey, there's some countries where I think I can figure this out. I sense a pathway here. And there's a few others where people are really, they really get stuck. Wow, it becomes such a barrier for them that, again, they don't see, starting a business as very feasible.
Mm. It's interesting because my feeling is that entrepreneurs are what will and are rebuilding America. And, so what happens is because right now things are going quite well for most entrepreneurs. It just seems like a trend. They are influencers to the 10th power because their friends see them getting new cars and new this and that and starting this. And it's like, who doesn't want to have that freedom?
Well, you're exactly right, and that's why the desire is so high, and that's the frustration that I think we see as we do this report, where people are wondering, okay, I really want to make this happen, but what's the environment that I have to work within? It's hard enough to just be in business. I think the regulatory environment is something that does scare people off a little bit. But, just as you said, I agree with you that the entrepreneurial spirit is what drives our economy. It's what drives our culture. It's what creates innovation. The biggest businesses today are some businesses that were never even thought of 10, 20 years ago. And I remember at our 50th anniversary, we looked at the top 10 companies 50 years ago when Amway started, and, four of them didn't even exist anymore.
Right.
It's part of the marketplace. It's this entrepreneurial spirit. It's these new ideas, as individuals that get a start and get moving and then impact, whole communities and entire culture.
Mm-hmm. What do you think entrepreneurs are looking for in 2018?
Well, I think they're, looking for in 2018, they're looking for a lot of the same things. They're looking for, how do I get access to capital? That always is the number one question of how do I kind of find my way through the venture capital world or through the banking world or friends and family, whatever it may be. That's number one. Then the second thing, they're really looking for some advice to navigate, as we were just talking about, some of the regulatory challenges. And then I think the third thing is they're looking for ways to really identify how do I use some of this new technology to identify my customers, to identify the marketplace, to really be able to be successful. I think they know that there's more than just having a good idea or something that interests them. They want to make sure they're connecting the dots to being successful in the marketplace. And that's where this idea of making entrepreneurship accessible to everyone is so important. And that's what really comes through in the report, that there's this great desire, but that we just have to continually work at reducing these barriers and creating more opportunity for people.
All right. You can find the report at amwayglobal.com. Doug DeVos, when he comes back, he's got some advice for you. You're an entrepreneur or a wantrepreneur. Stay with us. You have the president of Amway. We'll be right back.
I thought love was more. Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And don't forget to pick up an issue of Entrepreneur Magazine at newsstands everywhere. We will try and help shine a light on the road ahead of you so you can kind of see where you're going a little bit better. Talking to people that have been there and done that helps. Doug DeVos right now with us, president of Amway, amwayglobal.com. And we just got done talking about their 8th annual Amway Global Entrepreneurship Report. Time for Doug to put his professor's cap on, Professor DeVos, and give some advice to entrepreneurs. You've dealt with so many entrepreneurs in your life. You've watched it growing up with your father in Amway.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, hopefully you can give some word of encouragement to people to take that jump of faith and become an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. And it's so fun to talk about this subject, Alan. I'm grateful for having this opportunity with you to chat through these sorts of things. And, you know, and watching people's forward is, it's a belief in themselves. You quoted my dad and Jay Venano, some of their early quotes. And I know my father would always come along and say, you know, the best thing he ever said to somebody was, you can do it. You know, and how do you express that belief to someone and just make sure that they have that same belief in themselves? But there's maybe a couple other things to go with that we've kind of found and that we talk about at Amway on a regular basis. And the first one is to kind of have that adventurous attitude. You got to, you know, dream big, and you got to look forward and be willing to take those risks and make something happen. And, you know, my dad and Jay, as I said, you know, after World War II, they started a flight school and it failed, but they learned something. They wanted to take a boat to South America and it sank and they got rescued. And, you know, these just this adventurous attitude of trying things and doing things. And I think it's central to the entrepreneurship idea that you're willing to take those risks, because you will find solutions to some of the things we were talking about. You'll find solutions to those barriers. You'll find some mentors that will help you through. You'll learn just like everyone else has. Maybe the second thing is to really be observant. Because you may have an idea, you may have a passion, but you got to step back and say, can I really turn it into an idea? Can I turn it into a business? You know, can I do this profitably? Are people going to buy this? They had some early, some early experiences in Amway. You know, gosh, you know, can I really get a customer? Can I? They were, you know, as they were or in direct selling even before Amway, I should say, where they were saying, is someone going to buy this product? And their mentor said, well, he didn't give him a fancy sales pitch. He just said, well, look at my appointment calendar. I went to the so-and-so and I sold this, and I went to so-and-so and I sold that, and then I went back to this person and I sold. And the mentor just said, yeah, here's how you can turn that idea into something real. And observing the marketplace, people will buy this product. People will make it happen. I think after you've kind of done that, you got to take stock of yourself and say, where am I really? What can I do from this point forward? And how can I go forward from here? So am I in a place where I need to be? You know, personally, do I have the support? Do I have the right finances? Because sometimes, yeah, you know, you may want to push it when you're not prepared. And I think you got to be thoughtful in this process and make sure you have the resources around you, the mentors with you, the family support, or it's not just the financial support, it's the family and the other support around you. And then I think, you know, to me, the final piece always comes down to leadership. And what I would say, when you're an entrepreneur, you are the leader. You can't look anywhere else. You know, Steve and I here at Amway, we have had, you know, challenges from time to time, and you have a conversation about, well, this needs to change or that needs to change. And then you kind of walk up to the mirror and you look at yourself, and I said, if something's going to change, it's going to start with me. I guess I need to change. And so, you
look
know,
at
because
the man
it's
in the
not
mirror,
going so
right?
well, I'm the leader. Yeah. I guess you got to step up and do it. And so, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, it's up to you. Make it happen. And I just kind of wrap with where we started. Believe in yourself.
I love it.
We have seen so many people with tough backgrounds be successful because they worked hard and they just kept going. They persevered.
Well, you know what? I'm going to play. Let's see here. What do I have? Yes, Boogie Wonderland, because being an entrepreneur is definitely a Boogie Wonderland. Doug DeVos, thank you.
You got it.
You're the best,
exactly.
Man.
Thanks, Alan.
AmwayGlobal.com. You guys can check out their 8th annual Amway Global Entrepreneurship Report. Fantastic advice from the president of Amway. I look forward to having you on again sometime real soon. Thank you so much.
I'd love it, Alan. Thank you.
All right. Really appreciate it. Well, that's about it for me on this episode. Check out our website, entrepreneur.com. Pick up our magazine, Entrepreneur, on newsstands everywhere. And I'll see you next time here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.